Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You're on WEEI, Boston Sports Original.
What is this? I don't feel good about this start at all. What is this?
I'm pretty sure this is Creed.
Is this Creed?
Yeah, of course it is. Not exactly
is
the Creed
like
song
Creed
I would
pick. Creed deep cut?
Yeah.
Do you
is
know
this My
one?
Own Prison?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, see.
Oh, my God.
I know my Creed, but like, I am not necessarily the Creed song I would have ripped right off the bat, but
this
hey.
Is literally the music that drove me to punk rock, to like turn off the radio and be like, not this radio station, but to turn off my alternative rock station in Maryland, being like, I can't take this crap.
Yeah, I get you. But like, I can still remember when I was like, I think that album, Weathered, came out when I was like 9. And I remember jamming to it for an entire summer. It was a banger.
Quick aside, what was the first CD that you can remember getting?
Nickelback, Silver Side Up, I think it was. Yeah.
This is like all your music?
Yeah. Butt rock. I live in the dad, like the divorced dad butt rock. Live there.
My first CD that I ever got was for Christmas, and it was Chumbawamba.
Honestly, not bad. Could have been worse.
I think I was like 7, and I got a CD player, and I got Chumbawamba.
Chumbawamba.
I just played that one song over and over and over again.
It doesn't count to have like, now that's what I call Christmas, right?
No. It has to be like an actual artist.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Chumbawamba.
Yeah.
And don't you feel like that song should have a resurgence? Like,
Top Thumping? Yeah.
Why isn't that song at sports games?
I don't know, but like,
when somebody
especially when
gets
they do like the,
like a foul?
I have a liquor drink, I have a lager drink. Like everybody would be
well, I get
up
knocked down, but
cheering.
I get up again.
Also
if you
true.
Take like a hard foul, I mean, look, Celtics, TD Garden. Like I'm giving out free business ideas here all day.
Yeah,
you see Jason like- Tatum take another hard flagrant on that left wrist or right wrist actually because it's a shooting wrist. Play tough thumping.
Hey, well, so my thought is it's like. It feels very much. Have you ever gone cosmic bowling?
I don't think so.
So
is that
it
like
was,
a disco bowling?
Well,
alley?
Yeah. So like you go to bowling and it's like in the evening time and all the lights are off except there's like strobe lights and stuff going on and so it's like it's just and then they play music
sounds like
that.
Sounds like a sexy boy girl birthday party.
Sure, I guess. I don't know, maybe it's like a New England thing, but like, I don't know. When I was a kid, we would go to like Cosmic Bowling, and I feel like it would be Cool in the Gang celebration followed by Chumbawamba.
Oh, so it's thumping. Like a roller rink vibe.
Yeah, very much so.
Okay.
But yeah, but you're just bowling.
Okay. I don't think I've ever done that.
Yeah.
I do love Southie Bowl. Have you ever been
there?
Oh,
of course I have.
Oh my gosh. And you just order your own pizza in. You
yep.
get the plastic cups of wine behind the counter.
So when
awesome.
I was in high school, Flex, I was in a bowling league.
Stop.
Yeah.
So you had your own ball?
No.
What?
No.
How are you going to be in a league and not have your own ball?
I was 17. And
this is getting worse in every direction.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Like, so we would go. So I went to BC High, which is in Dorchester.
Another brag.
Nice. Another
school.
Flex. We would pile like as many kids as we could get into my truck and then drive just down the street to Boston Bowl right there in Dorchester. And we would just own half the bowling lanes.
That's
was,
pretty cool. Did
yeah,
you guys
great.
Have matching shirts? Did you have a bowling shirt with your name embroidered on it?
No, it was just like a t-shirt.
Okay, this is getting less cool.
Yeah, no, that's why I said it was, you know. But
you
it was fun.
You didn't have your own ball. Did you have your own shoes?
I did. In high school, I did. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. This is getting a little bit more serious now.
Yeah, no ball, no gloves. I'm not that hard. I don't need gloves. Come on now. I got
bowling
great hands.
With gloves? Wouldn't that bother you?
No, like a lot of people wear like the gloves with the cut-off fingertips, like the biker gloves.
I would assume that those are like weight training gloves.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. A lot of
Bill Belichick used to wear those around Gillette.
Have you ever seen the classic Nickelodeon television show, Little Romeo?
No, I haven't. I thought Lil Romeo was a rapper.
He was. He also had a television show on Nickelodeon.
That was after
and
my
that's
Nickelodeon
how I,
time.
That's where I learned to bowl properly because there was an episode where he was like a bowling prodigy. And it's like when you come back, you pour out the cup of coffee and then you come through and yeah.
Can I tell you something? I'm scared to put my fingers in the holes in the big bowling balls.
That's out of context. That's kind of weird. But why are you scared to put,
I'm
what do you think like a snake's going to be in there going to bite your fingers
I
off?
I don't think I've actually ever done it. It scares me. I feel like I'm going to break my fingers when I throw
the
ball back.
So you prefer a candle pin bowling.
I love a candle pin bowling alley.
That's what I grew up on, and then I discovered the big balls, and that's what I was like, I can never go back.
Once you discover the big balls.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's talk about baseball.
Okay, yeah, speaking of balls, let's talk about baseball.
Bummer event last night, bummer news.
Yeah, your Boston Red Sox beat the Minnesota Twins last night 6-1. Good news for the Sox in that regard. Bregman had a home run, Devers 2-RBI single. But the bad news, though, was Tristan Casas suffered a major knee injury. Alex Cora talked about it, that it was a major knee injury and that Casas was in shock. And so I would venture to say that Casas is probably not going to return at all this season. And in like the long run may not even be back until the beginning of next year. It feels like it was almost like a pop kneecap type thing, which is never good. And that sucks for Tristan Casas, a guy who has struggled to start the season. He was hitting 182 and he was trying to figure things out. He had a couple home runs, but could never really string enough things together consistently. And so I'm curious, Mego, your thoughts on the Casas injury and kind of where the Red Sox will go from here.
So it was brutal to watch last night. Any injury like that, like, honestly, I don't know if it's something that's happening with me with age. I don't know how other people feel, but it just is starting to make me queasy.
Yeah.
I used to be able to be kind of like Teflon when you'd see somebody get injured. Even like, honestly, the Gordon Hayward injury.
Yep.
Everybody was like
Kevin Ware one.
Yeah, yeah, everybody was like, warning, hey, before you watch this, it's brutal. And I'd watch it and I go, it's, you know, I feel bad for the guy, but it's a foot bending the other way. I watch a lot of gross, scary movies. Mm-hmm. So now, like, it's the same thing as last week when Porzingis had that gash on his head and he had the blood everywhere. It's starting to make me cringe. I can't. Anyway.
It's reverse. What is it? Reverse desensitization.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm growing more sensitive. With Tristan Casas, I feel really bad for the guy. He was snake bitten last year. He is now going to lose another season very early in his career. And as you said, like, he wasn't having a good season to start off with. I don't want to be, this is kind of like, I don't know how to say this. I'm trying to be optimistic here for Red Sox fans. I'm not trying to be insensitive to Casas or insensitive, but it is kind of the best injury that you could have on your roster right now.
Yeah, I mean, if a guy was
first base, it's probably the easiest position to replace.
Sure.
You can get into what they should do and what they probably will do.
And replacing 182 in the lineup is a little easier than replacing someone like Bregman, who's mashing
right
now.
Yes, Casas struggled a lot. He talks a lot and sometimes is disruptive from an attention standpoint for the clubhouse. You don't want anybody to ever get injured, especially an injury like this where he's taken off in an ambulance to the hospital. It looks like he's going to miss the whole season now after having to miss so much of last season. But at the same time, it does create kind of some intriguing opportunities for the Red Sox to change the look of their team right now.
Yeah.
And to speed up some of the things with the younger guys.
Yeah, there were two major thoughts, outside of the fact that I really hope Tristan Casas is okay and I hope he gets better. There were two kind of major thoughts that ran through my head following this injury was, wow, I can't believe Bregman didn't kind of pull the trigger on a trade on him last year.
Breslow, you mean?
Breslow, sorry. Not Bregman. Breslow pull the trigger on a trade on him last year, especially for a guy like Flagler or just any trade at all. Like, it was just, it was kind of your best asset to trade, and it helped kind of ease that logjam for a lot of your younger players and everything. So it was kind of a mistake in hindsight. And then looking forward, it's like, okay, so now you're presented with unique opportunities. Rob Bradford, I saw him tweet out that, like, I would start working out Marcelo Meyer at first base right away. That's what Bradfo tweeted out. Do you agree with him? Is this a situation where it's like, okay, you know, we have to take everything in stride, so now we have to look forward. We're hoping Tristan gets better. We hope the best for him. But as a team, we have to look forward. We have to move on. Is this now an opportunity that you see for the Red Sox to bring up one of those young stars that is absolutely ripping it up in Worcester?
Absolutely. I think that that is far and away the most exciting thing that they could do right now. And this is how those guys, we thought, were going to get into these situations with the Red Sox, right?
Yeah.
Like, we know that they have these very talented prospects that have been moving for years now through the minor leagues. And it was going to have to take an opportunity from injury. Now, Marcelo Meyer, like, first base is not his natural position, and you'd be putting him there and seeing how he works at the major leagues and then eventually moving him over to shortstop, and as things progress with, you know, Trevor Story's contract and everything. Like, that is a multi-year process probably. But I don't have the fear that some others do sometimes of, like, moving these guys up too fast.
Yeah.
Because I think especially with first base, you have so many different options there. Like, what do you think? You're going to – the kid, like, knows how he's been ranked since he was probably 15 years old.
Yep.
Like, we treat some of these guys as if they don't know the stakes and going and, like, aren't chomping at the bit to get to Fenway.
Yeah, I mean –
And you think that you're going to break him by moving him up into first base? Like, come on.
He said it with Jones and Keefe before the – right around the beginning of the season. He said – I was hoping to make the opening day roster. Like, I wanted to be on that opening day roster, and unfortunately he wasn't. And I think you're putting yourself in the perfect opportunity to bring him up. He has 7 home runs. He's hitting .270 in AAA. Like, let the kids cook.
Yeah, his OPS is .829. Can we talk about the kind of dark irony, though?
Okay.
That before the season started, it was Tristan Casas who gave the quote of, like, I don't think these guys have a position on our opening day roster.
And now he
may have opened the door for a young guy to walk in there. It sounds like with you guys on the morning show, they already poo-pooed, like, Roman Anthony moving up into first base. And
yep,
it sounds like that's not the direction they're going to go in, which is really frustrating to me. They're probably just going to go with somebody like Romy Gonzalez and have an easy solution there to be a stopgap for a little while.
Which is so frustrating, because, like, this presents an opportunity for you where you don't have to force one of those young guys up. It's like, hey, we have a roster spot now. Like, this is the time that we get one of those young guys up here and see if they can compete at the MLB level. And instead, like you said, they're just going to do the, we'll just throw Romy Gonzalez over at first base. We'll kind of keep everything status quo and keep those guys, you know, cooking in AAA, I guess. And it seems silly to me.
The other option that you have that I don't think they're going to take, but if they did, it would be very interesting in terms of the team dynamics and his place within the clubhouse, his place as the face of the franchise, or losing the position as the face of the franchise, is, of course, Rafael Devers.
Mm-hmm.
So Rafael Devers comes into this season, designated hitter. We all followed the drama in spring training between him and Bregman.
All over
and
the
Bregman
place.
And taking the position that he squarely earned with another team.
Yeah.
And Rafael Devers not understanding the situation. And Alex Cora has said he's going to DH. He's not going to be in the field. Like, don't look at him out there. He's never going to play defense again, pretty much is what he told us. Do you think there's any chance that he moves over to first base? And would it make sense to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it would make a lot of sense. It allows you to bring up either Roman Anthony or Marcelo Meyer. You can kind of choose, and one of those guys can be your new DH. And they don't have to play every day. They don't even have to get in the field right away. They can just focus on hitting at the major league level to start. But I don't think it's going to happen. I would like it to happen. I think it's unlikely. I think what Alex Cora said is true. I don't think Rafael Devers will ever touch the field again. Like, he will continue to be a DH at all times from now until forever.
Why? I mean, I gotta say, so if, like, Rafi is somebody who truly takes
pride...
Well,
it's not like he was good at third base either.
No, he wasn't, but first base is easier than third base. And if he's somebody who was supposed to be, like, taking pride in that he plays defense as well as hitting, and he doesn't want to embrace this DH role, I mean, it's kind of an easy solution for a temporary status. I guess they could just look at it and say, like, well, We don't want to play head games with him and throw him back out there and then bring him back in.
I don't even think it's the head games thing. To me, it's more so they want to make sure physically he lasts for an entire season, right? Like, because they don't want him to have the wear and tear of playing on the field every day, and they need his bat come later in the season and into the playoffs. And so by keeping him at DH, they preserve his body as much as they possibly can throughout a 162-game season. As soon as you put him at first base, you kind of endanger that, and you've already lost one first baseman. You don't want to then have to lose Rafael Devers, who's one of your better power bats, and then it's just, then it becomes a mess, right? As much as we want to see Roman Anthony or Marcelo Meyer, if something happens to Rafael Devers, then it's like, all right, things are just starting to spiral.
Can I say something deeply insensitive?
Okay.
Toronto, next time you take a trip up there, I don't think that you should have Rafi Devers batting in front of the Ozempic signs. That was a tough look.
Yeah, that's probably not great, not ideal. But hey, you never know. He might hop on it and drop a couple pounds or something if he wants, I guess.
They got like
kind of mean though.
The giant Ozempic signs at that ballpark.
It's Canada. Anything goes in Canada.
Well, I look, Ozempic, everybody's on it. Like everybody's on it around here. So I get it. Like it's big business, but it's quite a visual to have Rafi Devers stepping up to the plate, swinging the bag with just like Ozempic, 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 Ozempic.
That should be their next
him.
Commercial. It's just Rafael Devers.
It's insensitive. It's not a nice look for the broadcast. I had to say.
617-779-7937 if you want to weigh in here on the Boston Red Sox, the injury to Tristan Cass is how the team should handle it going forward. Coming up after Mego and Shime at about 1 o'clock this afternoon, Rob Bradford will be with you in the New England Ford Clubhouse Studios.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
You buy your New England Ford dealers, hurry in to get employee pricing on the full lineup of vehicles Ford from America for America. 617-779-7937 if you want to call in. That's the same number to text as well. Text line already popping off. I see video game texts. I see Red Sox texts. They're all there. Me and Mega will get to everything coming up. But next, it's time to preview Celtics and Knicks. The series kicks off Monday night. I know Mega's excited. It's not this weekend. That kicks off Monday night. But right now, Jacob is going to get
I thought that music mattered.
I don't know this song.
You don't know what this is? This is just the start of it.
What is it?
Let It Breathe.
Okay. Oh, there it is.
Has a long intro.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. I get knocked down. Yeah, this song still bangs.
God, the 90s rocked. The 90s were truly the best.
I think, so on the Greg Hill Show a couple times, we've done one-hit wonder days where I would just play one-hit wonders from certain decades. I think the 90s is the best one-hit wonders.
Do you think that's just because it was like the era when we were in our parents' cars listening to radio all the time?
Maybe, but I feel like also it's just because there wasn't even really social media, so it was hard for people to just like flash in the pan, I guess.
And
I don't know.
Like make just a stupid TikTok song?
Yeah.
I'm not on TikTok, so I don't really like know how that works. But
yeah,
I do feel
I'm on
like
TikTok quite a bit.
There's a lot of cross pollination now between what would have been a one hit wonder and what is a big social media.
Well,
song.
So and I think now it's because so like you'll hear a song on TikTok and now there's like TikTok radio and like
what do you mean?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure SiriusXM has like a TikTok radio.
TikTok
channel.
Radio?
Yeah, yeah.
This is
where
just
they just play all
that
the songs that are popular on TikTok.
Aren't a lot of the TikTok songs annoying though? Because they do.
No, they're catchy. A lot of them are like earmoths.
Okay, so they're not like the songs that are like like making fun of something happening.
No, sometimes they are, but not all the time. No, like a lot of them are very, very popular songs now.
So, I just assume it's all for 10-year-olds.
A lot of it. I don't know. Some of it.
Not like tub thumping. That was art.
That was up there, absolute cinema, absolute art.
That was up there with the White Album, I believe.
Ooh.
Tub thumping.
Okay,
yeah, that was
nice.
Chumbawamba and the Beatles, kind of one and the same.
Yeah,
I
definitely
think they did a lot of cross projects.
They had the same impact on the world, I would say,
for sure.
Yeah, very similar. Yeah,
same legacy.
Yeah, and you want to know who else is trying to leave a good legacy? The Boston Celtics.
Look at that! Look at that segue.
I'm trying to get better at him. Okay. I fumbled one the other day on the Greg Hill Show, so I'm trying to improve.
Wait, what was the fumble?
Actually, it was quite a while ago, but I was trying to make a connection between, we were talking about animals, and I was trying to make a connection to Elliot Wolf because his last name's Wolf, and it just didn't land. It didn't.
Aww.
It was a swing and a miss. But you know what? You're going to have some mistakes sometimes. You're going to fail. You're going to fall down. You got to get back up and keep grinding, and that's what we're doing here.
Have a whiskey drink?
Yeah.
Have a vodka drink?
Yeah, maybe even have a lager drink. Who knows? But your boss is telling and get back up again. Your Boston Celtics take on the New York Knicks in the second round of the NBA playoffs in the Eastern Conference. First game will be Monday night, 7 o'clock tip over on TNT. Mego, I was excited they were playing the Knicks. Part of me wanted to see the Pistons just because I think I like the Pistons more than the Knicks. But I think for the Celtics, it's better to play the Knicks just because you've kind of owned the Knicks all season. They don't play a very I would say contentious style of basketball where that it's not like it's
going to be different than Orlando.
So much different. It's going to be so much softer, so much easier. You're going to see those three balls get launched up all over the place again. And I just think that the Celtics are going to run over this Knicks team. Are you kind of in the same boat or do you think the Knicks will actually put up some kind of fight?
I'm approaching a little bit more cautiously this
okay.
round. Because if you remember in round one, I was like, sweep, sweep, sweep. It's going to be a 4-game sweep. Celtics are so much more talented than the Magic. They just completely outmatched them. But the Magic like brought a lot against the Celtics.
Yeah.
And I do think maybe I underestimated how much of the book was out on this Celtics lineup from last year. I mean, teams at this point have 2 years now to make their adjustments to what the Celtics do. And we know that what the Celtics have done has not changed very much from the championship run that they had last year. So I think that's really the only thing that's working against the Celtics is that everybody knows them. Everybody knows basically everything about them. They have so much tape on them.
Sure.
And to your point about them, you know, using the Knicks as kind of a doormat this entire year, it's true. And we like to talk about they beat them by an average of 16 or 17 points through the four games that they played them. They were able to average 48 three-pointers per game against them. So it's very much the Celtics basketball that we're used to seeing them win by over the last 2 years. But that final game did have to go to overtime. Like there is going to be, I think, at least one game here where the Knicks show up at TD Garden and Jalen Brunson is just an absolute menace getting to the free throw line and everyone's going to be disgusted by it and hate it and they're going to steal one. So like I see it being five games because I do think that the Knicks are going to come super fired up for one of these games and be able to just pull a rabbit out of a hat.
Yeah, they're probably going to win one. I mean, it's just kind of the way the Celtics play playoff series last year, this year. It's like, yeah, we'll drop one along the way. But for the most part, they're the better team. They dominate 95% of the series. And there is going to be that moment where Jalen Brunson drops 45, and it's just because it's a really ugly brand of Jalen Brunson basketball, and it's just annoying. And it's going to be a pain in the ass. But okay, that happens once. Like, this Knicks team is nowhere close to the Celtics. If this goes six or seven games, like, that's, I think that's a bad sign for the Boston Celtics. They need to take care of this in four or five games, just like they did the Magic, just like they did basically every series last year. They need to take care of business here, and they cannot allow this to get to six or seven games. You cannot allow the Knicks to get underneath this game. The Knicks are not that good.
Like, I don't think it will, and I also just think the Knicks, like, I feel for producer Jacob back there, because I think that they're kind of in the worst position that you can be in a conference. I mean, not the worst. The Bucks are in the worst.
Oh, man.
But
they
they're
are
in a
mess.
Tough position because they make these moves last offseason where they part with Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo and a bunch of picks. They bring in Karl Anthony Towns and Mikal Bridges because they know, look, you're not going to just win with Jalen Brunson. He's a small guy. He is a free throw merchant. Like there's only a certain distance that a guy like that can take you.
Yep.
And I actually am not very bothered by Jalen Brunson's foul baiting.
No.
He does what he has to do. He's a smart player.
Jimmy Butler does it too. Like,
if you're a smart defensive player, you know how to control your body and not fall for his tricks that he's gonna try to pull on you. But at the same time, like the Knicks, they tried to add a big guy in Karl Anthony Towns. Like they tried to change the look of it. But the other teams in their division are just, the other teams in the NBA are just so much better than them. It's almost like if you did get better as a Knicks team, you only did it by a couple degrees and everybody else is just in a different tier than you.
Yeah, like the Celtics are just better at every level. The Cavs as well. Exactly. Like this should be, I feel like the Cavs should have a relatively easy series with the Pacers. The Pacers have been good. Like they kind of beat up on the Bucks in that last series, but like the Cavs are that much better and it should just be the Cavs and the Celtics in the East Finals again. Like that's what it should be. And the Cavs are going to give you a run. That's going to be a much tougher series. And so again, with kind of the injuries you've been dealing with, you need to just take care of business against the Knicks. Don't like lightfoot around, get into it, get it done, take care of business, get some rest, and get ready for the Cleveland Cavaliers because that's going to be your first real test of the postseason.
I also really want out of this round for Jason Tatum to continue the momentum that he's on. We talked about going into this postseason, especially with Jalen Brown super banged up in those last couple of games of the regular season. Is Jason Tatum going to be able to seize this moment, be able to get the finals MVP that everybody in the universe knows matters to him? Mm-hmm. Is he going to be able to finally put together a full playoff kind of moment for himself? And I think we really saw it when he came back from that wrist injury. He was averaging 36 points per game, double-digit boards. And they have this little layoff here this weekend. I just want to see him explode out of the gate and continue those numbers against the Knicks. Because if you think about it, he was putting up 36 per game in those last three games against an Orlando team where those scores in those games were super low.
You had to, yeah.
So, and it's not like, oh, he just had one like 42 point game and the other one was 20. No, he was like consistently in the 30s in these last couple of games. And I do think that for Jason Tatum, if he wants to take his profile to the next level and be somebody who's consistently considered a top three player in the NBA, like never mind the face of the league stuff, whatever. If he wants to be talked about the same way that everybody on the ESPN shows and everything talks about Anthony Edwards because they love him because he reminds everybody of Michael Jordan or SGA, or they begrudgingly talk about Jokic because he is the best player in the league right now, then you have to put together a playoff run like this, and the Knicks are the perfect opportunity to do it. Mikal Bridges matches up so badly against Jason Tatum. Like, if you watch that final game, the Tatum looks like he's on some kind of like NBA 2K
heater
mode, and he's playing against somebody who's never played the game before.
He also feels like he's playing with a different level of physicality than he has in the past. Like, his ability to get to the rim.
He's pissed off.
Yeah,
he was so mad after that wrist injury.
37 straight free throws.
Like,
that's insane.
What I thought about during that last series that also got me excited is that I just can't remember him ever chirping somebody like he chirped Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the only guys that he usually chirps like that are the refs. And so to see
and
him,
he's normally complaining more than chirping.
He's chirping at the other coach. He's chirping at KCP, who's also kind of one of his guys because they train with the same basketball skills coach who Drew Hanlon, who Tatum's been with forever. Like, they have worked out together, so it's not like they don't know each other.
Yeah.
So I am hopeful that this is like a different side of Tatum where he's coming out. He's like, I'm not your buddy. I'm not your AAU pal from back in the day. And honestly, screw all of you because I'm going to get finals MVP. And I'm just going to run through everybody now.
I just hope that continues because he needs to just show the world. Like, we know it. We know how good Jason Tatum is, even though sometimes this city does not give him the credit he deserves. Like, we know how good he is. This is an opportunity for him to show everyone just how good he is and, like, stick it to everyone and kind of stomp on the throats of everybody in his way. Because, like, if you just come out and you beat the Knicks in five games and then you beat the Cavs in five games or something and you go to the NBA Finals and you draw the Thunder and you just beat up on the Thunder, like, at that point, what can people even say to criticize Jason Tatum? Like, if you can make that run, last year, be damned. Like, it doesn't matter. Yeah, oh, last year's path to the finals was a little bit easier. Sure. This year, I went through legitimate competitors. I stomped on everyone. I was awesome. I put up 30 a game. I was averaging almost a double-double, almost a triple-double at times, and I just dominated. And at that point, it just becomes, like, his ascension to being the best in the league, it launches itself into, like, the stratosphere. Because I think it's just... It allows you to compete with the numbers people who just look at Jokic and, like, he does things we've never seen before. And then it also allows you to kind of compete with all those narrative guys like the Anthony Edwards of the world and be like, look, I just dominated everybody.
And don't get me wrong. Like, Anthony Edwards taking laps around the crypto.com center, whatever it's called these days, with LeBron acting like a wounded soldier in the middle of the floor. Like, I'm here for that all day.
Of course.
By the way, like, the LeBron stuff... I don't, you're a couple years younger than me, Shaim. Like, where are you on the spectrum of the LeBron GOAT level? Because I can't conscionably, like, entertain this anymore.
No, he's number two.
He's number three on my list.
Okay. Well, I would say he's number two just because I think the longevity, what he does all around, and then the championships on top of that, I think are really impressive. Michael Jordan was a completely different animal.
I think our brains are breaking a little bit from the longevity conversation in sports because I think what we saw Tom Brady do
was
where he was winning Super Bowls in his 40s.
Yeah.
We equate that now to going, okay, if you're still a top 15, top 20 player in your sport and you're playing at 40, you're also like GOAT level.
He has the titles too. Like, it's not like he doesn't have them.
Last title he had was 5 years ago and it was in the bubble.
No, I'm saying he has the titles like as a whole, like in his career. So it's not like he's just played forever and never won anything.
Right.
He has won a title multiple times. He's like a four-time MVP. six-time.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to sit here and say like LeBron isn't great.
Yeah, I'm not going to pull Terp and tell you he's the greatest of all time.
I think that's just Terp. That's the same thing where like I talked to Terp about comedians once, and he told me that he knew Chris Rock from the Madagascar movies. I was like, we grew up in different.
I know Chris Rock because he gets slapped during the Oscars.
We grew up in different worlds, Terp. Like I can't have a conversation with you about the LeBron thing or about Chris Rock in Madagascar.
Yeah,
like
can't
this is a different planet that we're on. But at this point I'm like, if he retires, fine. If he comes back, in a way, I think it's probably worse for the Lakers. Mm-hmm. And it kind of disappoints me because I really wanted Celtics Lakers in the finals, and we're probably not going to get that for a couple years.
No.
At least. Like, they need LeBron to retire, and they need to pair somebody else out there with Luka.
Yeah, they definitely need to. But, like, at the same time, like, I think LeBron could still be on a winning team.
But he can't because he's going to want $50 million
a year. And that's the issue, right? Like, that's ultimately the issue, is that he is going to want his max contract.
They're not going to be able to pay out aside from that. And they're not going to move on from Luka. Like, only an idiot would do that down in Texas.
Well, yeah, and at this point, the Lakers aren't going to move on from LeBron. LeBron, like, is the Lakers at this point.
As much as
they have acquired Luka, and that's great, and he's going to be the face of the team eventually, like, they're just never going to move on from LeBron.
If LeBron retired from the Lakers and said, I want a spot in the front office,
yep,
like, even if it's just some stupid chairman whatever or basketball role, and he said, I want to do that because I want to help bring this franchise more championships, he would instantly be L.A. legend.
Oh, yeah.
He would do more for the Lakers if he moved upstairs, if he kicked upstairs to the front office and said, I'm basically sacrificing my salary and I want somebody else to come in here in this $50 million role. Like, instant hero out there. But he won't do it because he's a 40-year-old with a crazy ego who's obsessed with having, like, one moment on the court where his son's in the NBA.
Oh, and he's going to keep playing until his other son gets to the NBA.
Stop.
100%.
Like, Bryce is... Because the first one worked out so well.
Isn't his son Bryce, like, going to college this year?
He's got to have at least 2 more years then.
Yeah, so I just...
He's going to Arizona, I think.
Yeah, exactly. I would not be shocked if that's LeBron's plan, is he's going to play until he gets to play with both sons in the NBA.
The only parent to play with both sons. It's like a beautiful relationship, but it's so stupid.
If I was Jeannie Buss,
I'd be like, this is enough.
It's the biggest egomaniac move in the history of mankind.
So stupid.
Like, at the same time, hey, when you have this kind of historied career, you can kind of do that. If you have the power, use it. Like, good for you. I think it's stupid. I agree with you, but that's just kind of what LeBron does.
Just be so happy that you're not the Lakers. Oh, there's so many teams out there, you should just be happy that you're not.
Like, just be happy you have Jason Tatum and not LeBron James.
Yes, absolutely.
That's kind of ultimately what it boils down to. You have arguably the best young player in basketball, and you're not dealing with a 40-year-old who thinks he's Tom Brady.
Well, do you want to talk about the salary cap next? Because second apron, Shams had, quite an earth-shattering report.
Yeah, let's get to that next. 617-779-7937. You can weigh in on the Sox. Tristan Cassis, you can weigh on the Celtics matchup with the Knicks. Mego and I will get to the Celtics, what they're going to have to do to deal with the second apron, coming up next here right on WEEI. Mego and Shime here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. That was Shams Charania on the Pat McAfee program, talking about the changes that will be coming to the Boston Celtics in the offseason, regardless of if they do or do not win another NBA title. Mego, this isn't new news, right? Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe, just because I'm on the program, Wick Grosbeck told the Greg Hill Show and told this station and told everybody listening that no team can be in this specific apron 2 years consecutively, more than 2 years consecutively.
Wait. He said that on a radio broadcast that everyone could hear?
I believe so. And he said that no team will be in this apron for more than 2 years.
Wow.
And that Brad Stevens will quote-unquote have to work his magic, I believe was what it was.
Whoa. Wow, that's like a lot of great information compared to that crazy Shams bomb we just got.
You'd think people would just remember that. I don't know. I felt like that was kind of inevitable. You were going to see some sort of changes with the Boston Celtics roster come this offseason. I still don't believe it's going to be anything insane, like Wiggy wants you to trade for Giannis or something like that. I don't think it'll be anything like that. I think it'll be the departure of, you know, Kristaps Porzingis or Drew Holiday, like one of these guys. How much does this Celtics team actually need to let go of in order to clear that apron?
So KP or Drew Holiday are kind of the clear options, I would guess, about who they would try to move on from. The situation that they're in is that they're probably, as they sit here with the roster today, going to be somewhere around $22.5 million over the second apron.
Okay.
But that's looking at a situation where the roster still needs one more player for league minimum going into the offseason. If you remember, they gave J.D. Davison that option at the end of the season to sign on and be with the Boston team. So you really would be looking at somewhere around like $25 million, most likely, over the second apron, thinking that you're going to have this other NBA level, like league level payroll there. So one of those, if you look at those guys as guaranteed money, their cap hit. The cap hit for Drew Holiday is $32.4 million for next season. Kristaps Porzingis is $30.7 million. Then you get down into Derek White is $28.1 million. Sam Hauser's about $10 million. Pritchard's $7 million. So, like, I think one of those guys is probably what people naturally look at. It's just hard for me to think at this point, with somebody brand new coming in and this owner that you have in Billy Banners, as we've been calling him around TD Garden.
Billy Banners, I like that.
Like, there's, I guess you have to look at it as the new owner syndrome. Sometimes we use that as a very pejorative thing of, like, derogative of, like, oh, they're going to be so stupid and they're going to run around with their own ideas and be so excited. But maybe there's another side to it where, like, he scraped together the money to be the majority owner of this group of investors going in on this team. Like, maybe he'll look at it and be like, well, in reality, I don't want to leave Drew Holiday out there. I don't want to trade Kristaps Porzingis. I don't want it. I think we probably will see the roster change in the offseason, but a little piece of me is still holding out a sliver of hope that he'll be like, what if we run it back one more time?
I would love that. I would love to see them just be like, money be damned, let's run it back. But to me, the easy sacrifice here just looks to be Drew Holiday. With the ability to just kind of slide Peyton Pritchard into the starting lineup, it allows you to kind of seamlessly transition into the next generation of this team with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown still at the helm, and guys like Derek White and Kristaps Porzingis very much still in the mix, and allow you to shed $32.5 million in cap.
Let's go to, we have the clip from the morning show, just to refresh everybody what Wick said he was guessing was going to happen, or what he thought that the strategy was going to be, and that a lot of it is going to be on the shoulders of Brad Stevens.
It's not the luxury tax bill. It's the basketball penalties. Okay, the new CBA was designed by the league to stop teams from going crazy. And they decided that it's not just good enough to go after the wallets, because then the fans are like, hey, you know, find somebody who can afford to spend, whatever, $500 million a year or whatever it is. The basketball penalties mean that it's even more of a premium now to have your basketball general manager, your basketball president, be brilliant and lucky, because you've got to navigate, because you can't stay in the second apron. Nobody will. I predict for the next, you know, 40 years of the CBA, no one's going to stay in the second apron more than 2 years.
Can I say, the second apron stuff continues to extremely piss me off. And it's not just because, like, I would like to see the Celtics have continued success and be competing for championships.
Yep.
I just think it's so stupid by the league to do this. Because you're so contradictory with the way that you set up these rosters and the way that you want teams to operate. Okay? The player empowerment movement was nice for the players for a little while, but it ended up being a big freaking headache for the entire league. You get casual fans who are rooting for individuals instead of teams and buying the jersey of the guy who's moving from Cleveland to Miami to LA and talking about LeBron instead of looking at somebody like Jordan, who's winning multiple championships in the same city and building something great there the way that Brady did with the Patriots here. And you look at what you ask the teams to do. Go and perform in the draft. Draft your young players like Jason Tatum, like Jaylen Brown. develop them to the point where then they are all NBA and they get the Supermax deal. So they have incentive to stay there. So you pay them the Supermax deals. But then if you execute that with more than one player on your team, you essentially get punished if you try to build anything out around that. And I understand that the owners mostly don't want to be in this situation where the salaries are ballooning completely out of control. And suddenly you find yourself like Major League Baseball and you're the Dodgers or something like that. But I still am frustrated that it's like they clamp these handcuffs on and it contradicts what they're asking teams to do in the beginning. I would like to see that Oklahoma City Thunder team out there together for the next 10 years. Like, dynasties are good. These powerhouses are good for the leagues, for casual fans to have the and to continue have rewarding teams for drafting well, as you have asked them to. And I just think it's stupid to try to have this parity across the league that doesn't benefit anybody, really.
I agree in that dynasties are good for the sport, but dynasties are also really difficult to do, right? Like, you look at what Golden State was able to do.
So you don't need to clamp down the handcuffs with the second apron.
Yeah, you're probably right, right? Like,
baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
There will be teams that will step up and challenge those dynasties. I mean, the Celtics could be a budding dynasty, but there's going to be a team like Oklahoma City who will be there to step up and challenge them. LeBron was his own dynasty, quote unquote, and then Golden State stepped up and became their own and challenged him and kind of established themselves. And so, like, you see it throughout time. Even when LeBron was with the Heat, you saw Dirk step up and challenge them. And so you're right. I think to a degree, this whole second apron thing is stupid, but at the same time, it's like it's them trying to play both sides of the fence. It's, yeah, we want a cap, but we don't really want a cap. And, like, you just pick one. Either have a cap or don't have a cap. That's fine, but, like, decide and then go with that. Go with that in mind. Baseball is clearly, yeah, there's no salary cap. Don't worry. Hockey is very much, we have a hard salary cap. This is the deal. You have to play within these lines. And then basketball is just trying to kind of, like, play both sides, and it doesn't really work.
Right, and the NFL just doesn't have the same guaranteed cash, so it's different.
Exactly. They have all this make-believe monopoly money going around, and that's just kind of, you can kind of make it work with magic.
Yeah, and look, so I'm not surprised to hear that there's this Shams report that there's going to be a trade or exploration of trades in the offseason. Anybody who thought that the seven rotational players who would stay on the Celtics team were going to be here forever, like, come on.
Yeah.
You know where you're sitting with the payroll. I just get aggravated because sometimes I feel like the NBA is just kneecapping itself unnecessarily. And I'm like, maybe it's just to benefit the owners, but I don't think it helps the product. And I want to see the league do well and continue to grow and continue to get more fans. And I don't think it helps when you have guys, I don't think it helped for 10 years when you had guys jumping team to team to team to team, and people didn't even know where James Harden was anymore or who was actually competing for championships anymore. And I don't think it helps if you break up teams that have a good run of success. I think that the Warriors were great for the NBA.
Yeah, they were awesome.
I think that the Bulls were great for the NBA. These dynastic teams, the Lakers. And, you know, I wish that the Celtics from the Kevin Garnett era had done a little bit more. But, like, those battles in the championships that they have, as you just watched on Celtic City, dynamic for the NBA.
Absolutely.
And yet the NBA looks at it and they go, what we'd really like is for the Rockets to have a shot at the championship. And then the next year, we'd really like the Sixers to have a shot at the championship. It's like, this is not youth soccer. Everybody doesn't need a shot at the championship. It's professional sports.
Draft and develop better and maybe you'll have a shot at the championship.
Right. And it's such, again, I'm sorry, I'm just ranting at this point because it does really bother me. But if you think back to the 2022 NBA Finals, which I was fortunate to go out and cover in San Francisco for this radio station. When they took the floor on game one of those finals, 80% of the players on the floor between Golden State and the Celtics were drafted players by those franchises.
Yep.
That's what the NBA should want. And yet both of those teams are franchises that now, as you look at today, still competing and probably going to have to make tough decisions, continue making tough decisions in the offseason.
Warriors already have had to make
right,
those.
Because of the second apron. I just don't think it's a helpful tool.
617-779-7937 if you want to weigh in. We've talked Celtics. We've talked Red Sox. It's now time to get into a little football. Before we dive too deep into the Patriots, though, we do have to touch on quite possibly the hottest story in the city of Boston.
Oh, Lord.
That would be the partner of one Bill Belichick. We'll get to that here. It's Mego and Shime on Boston Sports Original WEEI.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.